I'm Rachel Otwell. You're listening to Illinois Edition on NPR Illinois. Well, another Illinois politician is facing potential prison time. This time it's Dennis Hastert. He served as an Illinois representative and as the U.S. Speaker of the House from 1999 to 2007. Hastert, now 74, grew up in a rural farming community in northern Illinois and spent time as a high school teacher and wrestling coach before making his way into politics. A hush money case that surfaced about a year ago and dredged up allegations of prior sexual abuse has made him a reviled public figure. As you can tell by this clip from The Daily Show, which aired last week, and just a word of caution, some listeners may want to tune out for this clip and the rest of this interview due to the disturbing nature of the topics discussed.
It might seem weird that a man of Dennis Hastert's station would risk jail time for breaking treasury laws, but he had, and I think you might agree, a perfectly good reason for needing that money.
Federal prosecutors say Dennis Hastert was paying hush money to a man who was 14 years old when Hastert sexually abused him in a motel room decades ago.
Disturbing allegations involving former House Speaker Dennis Hastert that he sexually abused several teenage boys on the high school wrestling team he once coached.
What the f***? A man who for 6 years was just one pretzel and one faulty pacemaker removed from an Oval Office position is an alleged child molester?
Joining us now is Jason Meisner. He covers the courts for the Chicago Tribune, and he's been reporting on the Hastert case extensively. He tells us more about it, including what could come up during sentencing next week.
Yeah, it was a little less than a year ago in May of 2015. The feds dropped an indictment that was kind of a bombshell, well, in two ways. One, it was kind of mysterious about what was actually going on. First, it was shocking that they were indicting the former Speaker of the House. But second, this indictment had a lot of mystery to it. There was this alleged wrongdoing in his past that he was paying $3.5 million to cover up. It didn't describe what the wrongdoing was. All we knew was that it was against a longtime acquaintance, and it appeared that it had started back in his days as a teacher in Yorkville. So there's a lot of mystery to it, a lot of reporters scrambling and trying to find out what was going on, what was the wrongdoing, who was this mysterious individual A who was allegedly being paid by Hastert to keep quiet.
Was there talk at that time of sexual abuse, or were people making that sort of speculation yet?
Shortly after indictment came down, I believe it was the next day, the Tribune was the first to report that the wrongdoing was indeed sexual abuse. And that was based on law enforcement sources, and then other news organizations followed up. And so it's been reported since fairly early on that that's what's going on. But officially, federal prosecutors had never said what it was. First time it was ever mentioned was in court last month, and that was by the judge, not by the prosecutor. So,
because, of course, the trial wasn't about the allegations of sexual abuse specifically. And can you talk a little bit about the statute of limitations in our state when it comes to sexual abuse and whether or not these are things he could actually specifically be prosecuted for?
Yeah, it's a little confusing because it's changed over the years. They've grandfathered in some laws. Basically, I mean, these are allegations that are 30, 40 years old. The statute of limitations are way past. Can't be charged with any sexual misconduct that occurred that far in the past. What they did was they charged him with kind of a dry indictment. He was making structured bank withdrawals, so to avoid reporting them to regulators, which if you withdraw increments of 10,000 or more, you're supposed to report it. Once the banks flagged him saying, hey, you can't do this without reporting it to us, he dropped the levels of his withdrawals to under 10,000. That's called structuring. It's illegal. And it's typically an instrument that prosecutors use against money launderers, drug dealers, sometimes terrorism, very rarely in the case of somebody paying hush money, which is what Dennis Hastert admitted to doing. He pled guilty to one count of illegally structuring withdrawals. There was another count of lying to the FBI where they confronted him at his home. He admitted to that conduct in his plea agreement, but he didn't actually plead guilty to a count of lying to the FBI. So it's only one charge that he's going to be sentenced on next week. The statutory maximum is 5 years, but what the government has done is they've recommended a sentence of 0 to 6 months, zero meaning probation, up to 6 months. So it's the lowest possible sentence you can have, range that you can have for a felony conviction in federal court. The judge is free to go over that. Prosecutors are not asking for any more than 6 months.
And do you have a sense at all if the short sentence that they're talking about here would have to do with any health concerns?
Well, he's been, after he pled guilty in October, he got really sick. He had an almost fatal blood infection, his lawyers say. He had a stroke while he was in the hospital, and he was actually in the hospital for weeks. They are making the argument that because of his age, he's 74 years old, because of his health, he does not deserve prison. It's an argument that's made often in federal court, and in this case, they've got a lot of details to back it up. They've got, you know, doctors have examined him. The judge actually appointed his own doctor to take a look at him. So that will be an issue, his health, the fact that he has no criminal background, and the good deeds he did. I mean, he, becoming the second most powerful politician in the country certainly will come into play. And then on the other side, there's going to be testimony from at least two people about his past and the sexual misconduct that occurred a long time ago.
And his camp has reacted, is that right, giving out a statement regarding the claims of sexual abuse in his past, saying that if anything had happened, it might have been on accident or something like that?
Well, they issued an apology, and they said he feels bad for it, but they didn't specify what he feels bad for. So it's been criticized roundly for kind of a non-apology. Didn't say, I'm sorry that I sexually abused anybody. He said, I'm sorry for any harm I caused. We'll see what he says. He will have the opportunity, and it will be one of the most dramatic moments of the sentencing, to address the court, say whatever he wants before the judge gives him what he's going to give him. So we'll see what he says then.
And so how do people see this affecting his legacy? Obviously, there's already been many commentaries on this case from around the nation.
I mean, the general consensus is that his legacy is in shatters. His portrait was taken down from the U.S. Capitol. His lawyer said in his own sentencing memo that people have abandoned him. It's a very small town where he grew up, and that area, everybody knows each other. He was kind of like the pride of Plano and Yorkville, and that is not the case anymore. I think if you go out there and ask folks out there, they're sick of hearing about him. They're disgusted, and his legacy is pretty much gone.
I've been speaking with Jason Meisner. He's a reporter with the Chicago Tribune. And Jason, your newspaper actually had a report where you had tracked down one of the individuals who had made the claims of sexual abuse. Tell us a little bit about that.
A couple weeks ago, we came out with a big report. Our reporters managed to figure out and track down who this individual A is, and we actually confronted him as he was rehabbing houses out of state and asked him if he wanted to go on the record and speak, because while he is a victim and the feds view him as a victim, he's also, a lot of people have wondered, why wasn't he charged with extortion? Has he paid taxes on the nearly $2 million that Hastert gave him? That kind of stuff. So he didn't want to speak. There's no indication that he's going to speak on the record. And for those reasons, the Tribune did not identify him. There's an individual D, who's another person who's claiming he was abused by Dennis Hastert. He was a wrestler. He was going to speak on the record at sentencing. That'll be the first person to actually come forward. And I don't know if his name is going to be made public or not, but we also have been talking to him, and he's been very on the fence about whether he wanted to do this. But as far as we know, he's going to. So he'll be the first person to come into court and actually say, Dennis Hastert, my coach, did this to me. And here's how it affected my life and all of that. There's another person who's now deceased, but his sister is going to testify that he told her that Dennis Hastert abused him throughout his high school years. So that'll also be some dramatic testimony.
You've been listening to Illinois Edition, and that's been Jason Meisner, who's with the Chicago Tribune. He's been reporting on the Dennis Hastert hush money case. News broke of that about a year ago, and sentencing is slated for next week. Hastert, of course, was an Illinois representative who served as the U.S. Speaker of the House from 1999 to 2007. To find more reporting on this case from Meisner, head to WUIS.org to find the links. I'm Rachel Otwell.